I don't know if any of you are like me or not, but sometimes there are times when my trust in God is not as good on some days as it is others. I mean, there are some days when my trust is really, really solid, and yeah, I trust Him completely. And then there's other days where maybe I'm not as trustworthy. Can anybody relate to that? Anybody like that? You know, where we're like, I love God, I believe God, but I also feel uneasy about the future. And when you look around, it is easy to feel uneasy about the future. Amen? Everywhere you look right now, there seems to be tension. There seems to be racial division, political division. It's very, very real. And it's important that we as Christians, that we as the church, navigate through this well, because people are watching. And so you look around and you ask yourself, if you're anything like me, you start playing the what-if games. Anybody here ever play the what-if game? You know, what if so-and-so happens, or what if such-and-such happens? And it's really easy to get caught up in this what-ifs type of mentality. And, you know, it's like, probably some of you have said this, what if the wrong person gets elected into office, whoever the wrong person is for you, right? What if I lose my job? What if I get sick? What if somebody that I love gets sick? What if they close down the schools and we have to homeschool our kids for the rest of their careers? Some of you are like, you know what, that's right up my alley. I'm good with it. I mean, Laura was fantastic with it. Others are like, that's when you start praying, Lord, come quickly. You know, that's when you want the revelation to come true. But it's not good. It's not easy to play the what-if game either. I know some people that, they're just kind of in this situation. I've talked to some people that are not married yet, and they're like, you know, they're hoping to meet someone, but during COVID, it's really, I mean, there's not a lot of dating going on right now. And you might say, well, what if I stay single for the rest of my life? Maybe that's some of you guys. Or maybe you're saying, what if I do get married and I marry the wrong person? Does that mean we're going to have the wrong kid? See, it gets kind of complicated. Or what if I do get married? Get this. What if I do get married and I marry the right person and I have the right kids, but I have the wrong job, but I can't quit my job because my kids need braces, and if my kids don't get braces, then they're going to grow up and they're going to marry the wrong people, and that means they're going to have the wrong kids, which means I'm going to have the wrong grandkids, and that's going to be awkward someday when I have that conversation with my grandkids and say, you know, you aren't the kids we were expecting. That's going to be really difficult for us to do that. And so we can go down these rabbit holes and we can ask all of these what ifs, you know? And we can't play that game. We need to trust God. But sometimes, you know, sometimes we just want to say, God, it's hard. It's difficult. There's a lot of things that I can see right now that are going on that makes it difficult. You know, we can see the things that are going on in our world, but it's hard because we can't see God necessarily, right? We see the effects of COVID. We see the craziness everywhere, you know, and we see the panic, and we see the worry, and we see the anxiousness. Or we can see when the bank account goes down because of the effects of COVID or whatever the case may be, and we can see the tension that's going on in people's lives. Every time we read or watch the news, it just makes us a little more tense all the time, doesn't it? Or at least it does me. And so we say, God, I want to trust you, but I see all this craziness going on, but where are you? It's really hard when I don't really see you. Or some of you might say, how can I trust in God? Because there was a time in my life where I really did trust in God, and I prayed about this particular thing in my life, and I prayed really hard, and I had other people praying really hard for this thing in my life that I know was the right thing for me in my life, and God didn't come through for me. So how can I put my trust in God who doesn't necessarily give me what I want? Some people are like that. So today, the title of today's message is, Can You Trust God? We're starting a new series, In God We Trust, and we're just going to start it off by saying, can we trust Him? I believe with all of my heart, 150%, that we can trust God. But we need His Word, we need His Spirit to help us trust Him more and to trust Him better. And what I want to do is I want to turn to the book of Luke today. We're going to be in chapter 5. And in this neat little story that most of us know, I believe there's two prayers that we can pray that's going to help us to build our trust moving forward in our lives. And so I want to give you the context, and we're going to look at these two prayers in just a moment. But here's kind of the story behind the story, if you will. So Jesus, He's by a lake, He's teaching. It's the end of a very frustrating day for a bunch of fishermen. They've been out, they're fishing like they normally did all the time, every day, but they didn't have the success that they normally had. They didn't catch anything, and so at the end of the day, they're cleaning up their boat, and they're putting their nets away, and Jesus walks up to one of the boats belonging to Simon Peter, and He says, "Hey, will you take me out on the water?" And Simon Peter, sure enough, says, "Okay, I'll take you out on the water." And so Jesus gives him a little teaching lesson here. And here's what happened in Luke chapter 5, verse 4. Scripture says, "When Jesus had finished speaking, He said to Simon, 'Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch.'" And so here's the deal. Sometimes, you know, we're afraid to go in that deep water because we don't trust Jesus, and we're more comfortable in the shallow, and we don't want to go out in the deep. So that's kind of the first thing here. Sometimes we've got to go into the deep water that's a little scarier. He says to Simon Peter, "Put into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon Peter answered Him. And I want to pause for a moment here before I go in and tell you what Simon Peter said, because to me, this is Simon Peter doing his best to be polite to Jesus. You know, he's got Jesus here in the boat with him. He's got the rabbi. He's got this guy that's just given this great message to a lot of people. And he's obviously this wise guy, this really, really smart person. He hasn't really figured out whether he's God yet or not, but he's very impressed with Jesus. And so here is Simon Peter, this fisherman who's got Jesus on the boat with him. And Jesus is telling the fisherman what to do. Now think about this for just a moment, because Simon Peter is this very experienced fisherman, and Jesus is asking him to do something that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Have you ever had anybody do that to you? You know, where you know that you're kind of an expert maybe in your field, and then somebody comes up and tells you how to do something, and you're kind of like, you really shouldn't ought to be telling me what to do right now, and you kind of like just grit your teeth and like, okay, whatever. And I think this is kind of happening here, because Simon Peter is, you know, he's an expert fisherman, and here's Jesus, who's not an expert fisherman, for all that Simon Peter knows, and He's telling him what to do. It kind of reminds me of a player that I had on my basketball team one time. He sat the bench. He didn't, I mean, maybe that's my fault for not playing him very much, but he wasn't very good. And, you know, he this is the kid that at one game, we're headed to the locker room, and I look up, and he's in line getting nachos at halftime of the basketball game. Full uniform. He's still got his warm-ups on because he hadn't been in the game yet, and he's in line getting nachos, right? And so in the game that I'm referring to, I call a timeout, and I'm getting pretty intense with my players, and I'm telling them, "Hey, guys, you really got to do this. You got to zero in. You got to focus on this. You got to do this. Got to do this. Got to do this." And all of a sudden, he raises his hand, right? And he says, "Coach, I got a better idea. Kevin, what would you do?" Say, "Why don't you go get some nachos," right? That's what you'd probably tell him to do, and go ahead and get some ice cream and everything else, and don't even worry about coming back, right? And this is kind of the situation. You've got this master fisherman, right? And Simon is getting instruction from a guy who's not a master fisherman, and Simon says to Jesus, "Master, we've worked hard all day and all night, and we haven't caught anything," right? In Simon Peter's mind, he's saying, "Jesus, what you're asking me to do is really, really stupid. I mean, really, it doesn't make any sense because we've tried this before," right? How many of you know that sometimes in your life, God has asked you to do things that in your mind, you're saying this is really, really, you wouldn't say stupid, but crazy. This doesn't make any sense. God, why would you be asking me to do this? You know, you might read in Scripture where where Jesus says, hey, don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow will take care of itself. And it's really easy to quote that to somebody else, but when the rubber meets the road and it's your life that we're talking about, you say, don't worry about tomorrow. Have you seen our country? Have you seen what's going on? Do you even know what's going on in my life? Somebody's got to worry about it, right? Somebody's got to do something. Isn't that how we feel sometimes when we read Scripture? Lord, if I don't do this, who's going to do this, right? Don't worry about tomorrow. Somebody better worry about tomorrow. You might read in Scripture, you know, bless those who persecute you. And it's real easy to quote that to somebody else. Hey, pray for that person. That person that's done you wrong, that you don't like very well, you pray for that person. And don't lean on your own understanding. Well, man, that's tough, because if I don't lean on my own understanding sometimes, maybe my bills aren't going to get paid. Can anybody relate? You know what I'm saying? You have these times in your life where you feel like you know what you're supposed to do, but then you want to lean on your understanding of what you know needs to happen, and it's tough. And sometimes we want to say to God, what you're asking me to do, sometimes God just seems unreasonable. It feels as Simon Peter felt that particular day. This feels crazy. This feels stupid. Lord, I've tried this time and time and time again, and it doesn't work. Lord, I can't see you. I can't feel you. What do I do? Well, here's the first prayer that we're going to see from Scripture. I think it's a very powerful prayer that I think we need to write down, and we need to pray this often. Lord, help me to obey you even when I don't understand. Pray that prayer often, and that's a very powerful prayer to pray. And what's so powerful to me is that we see this prayer lived out in the life of Simon Peter. By faith, he did exactly what Jesus asked him to do, and he let down his nets. He did exactly, it didn't make any sense. Look at our scripture again. Simon answered, hey, Master, hey, Jesus, we worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything, but Jesus, because of who you are, because you say so, I'm going to go ahead and let down my nets. Even though I don't know if it's going to work or not, I really don't think it's going to work, but because you said so, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to obey you. Sometimes we just have to do that, you know? I'm choosing to put my trust in you, God, even though I don't see it working out that way. And this action leads us to the conclusion that you don't have to understand completely to obey immediately. You don't have to understand completely before you obey immediately. How many of you are wired like I am, and when someone other than Jesus is asking you to do something and you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, no, I got to know how it ends. Anybody with me? No, tell me how this is going to work out. Give me A, B, C, D, and E, and all the way up to Z. Don't just tell me, hey, this is A, and then this is what Z is going to happen. I got to see, is anybody like that? I do that a lot, you know? And sometimes that's what God is asking us to do. God is asking us to not worry about all the details. Just trust me in what my word says you need to do. And a lot of times when we think of trusting God, we tend to think about the big things, you know. God, you're gonna ask me to move away. You're gonna ask me to move to another country. You're gonna ask me to quit my job that pays me pretty well to take a job that doesn't pay very well at all. Start a new career. And that might be the case. But what I have seen more times than not is to really grow in our faith and to really grow in our trust, we just trust God with the small things. Trust Him in the smallest ways. And sometimes these smallest acts of trust result in the biggest results, the biggest blessings, maybe even the biggest miracles. So how do we learn to grow in that trust? We need to trust Him with everything, even the small things, you know, that seems that don't seem all that big of a deal. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. And the word that is used there in the Hebrew for acknowledge means to know. In all your ways, know Him, and He'll make your paths straight. In all your ways, You've got to know him. You got to know him on the mountaintops. You got to know him in the valleys. We sang that song, "Graves into Gardens." You turn the graves into gardens. And doesn't matter if you're on the mountaintop or you're in the valley. Lord, you can take his situation and you can make it good in all your ways. Know him. Know him in the good times. Trust him in the bad times. Trust in him. Walk in him. And the only way that we can do that is to be close to him. You know, you cannot just go through life and not be close to him every single day, and then an issue comes up, and then you're kind of like, Lord, where are you? You know, you got to be close to him so you can see how he's working in your life, so you can trust him even more. This word trust at the very beginning of the verse, trust in the Lord. How do you do that? It means to cling to him. That's literally what it means. Cling to him. Not just be close in proximity. Not just read his word every once in a while. Not just sit in a chair in church on Sunday morning every Sunday. We're talking Monday through Saturday and on Sunday. We are having this close relationship with God every single day. And in order to cling to God, we got to maybe let go of something. Because it's hard to cling to something when you got your hands on something else, right? You know? And that's what God is saying. You might have some things that you just need to let go so you can cling to me. In order to trust him, you've got to learn not to lean on your own understanding. And that's hard. Can I get an amen to that? That is hard. And sometimes it seems like it's not even fair. Tell me to lean, God, when I'm wired not to lean on anything, when I'm told by society to be self-sufficient, to be a self-made man, and you're asking me to lean on you, God. That's hard. That's difficult. You know? But when you get to the place where you let go of your own understanding and you let go of your own plans that you think are what you need to be doing, you learn to let go of your own desires, you learn to let go of your own will, your own strategy, your own place of comfort, and when you cling to the one who calls himself the rock, who will never fail you, and you cling to his faithfulness and his goodness, man, I think you're going to be amazed at how much more often we see God. You know, I've mentioned several times, oh, it's easy to see all these other things that are happening and we don't see God. Well, how close are we to him? If you're closer to him, you're going to see him active. You're going to see him working every single day. And then anything else that brought you this illusion of security in your life, if you are close to Jesus, those things are going to fade away. And then this goodness and this grace of God and this presence of God is going to be in your life every single day. You need to just get a little more clingy to God. You know, most of the time we don't like clingy people, do we? We've got friends that are clingy. Boyfriend, girlfriends is clingy. Anytime I went out with anybody that was clingy, that didn't last very long. I'm just saying. But God is saying, you need to cling to me. I thank you that these are prayers that we need to make as well. I thank you, God, that I can cast my cares upon you because you faithfully care for me. God, I'm trusting, I'm clinging to your truth that you're going to provide for all of my needs, even the ones that I don't even know I need yet. God, I thank you and I praise you that your word tells me that you are working all things for my good and for your glory, for those that love you who are called according to your purpose. God, I cling to your truth. That you say you will never leave me, you'll never forsake me, and that I can draw near to you, and you will always draw near to me. Those are promises that God has given us. God, thank you for being close to the brokenhearted. God, thank you for saving those who are crushed in spirit. God, thank you for being my refuge, my strength, and my help in times of trouble. See, if you're going to cling to the goodness of God, you have to release that which you were clinging to before. And I'm just going to ask you, what is it? What are you clinging to that you're not willing to let go of so that you can cling to the Lord? Lord, help me to trust you. Help me to cling to you, even what I don't understand. Help me to trust you. Help me to obey you, even in the smallest of things, even the things that don't make sense to me. Because I trust you, God. See, here's what we got to do. We got to get to the point in our lives where we're like Simon Peter, even though it doesn't make any sense to you. Lord, doesn't make any sense, but I'm going to let down the net. I don't know the outcome. Simon Peter had no clue of the outcome of what was going to happen. And the good news is this, and this is in your notes. You might want to write this down, okay? The good news is outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is ours. Or it's yours. We don't have to worry about the outcome. All we have to do is be obedient. Lord, help me to trust you even when I don't understand. What I promise you is God will prompt you in some way. He will invite you to trust him, and you'll discover this, that big miracles often will follow simple acts of obedience. And we see this in our story. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and, you know, I don't want to come off as this name it and claim it guy that just says, hey, trust this and all these miracles, all these wonderful things are going to happen. But I guarantee you, if you don't trust him, there's a greater chance that nothing's going to happen. If you do trust him, there's a greater chance of seeing God work in your life. And he says, Jesus says to Simon Peter, hey, put down your nets for a catch. And Simon says, yeah, we'll trust you. And Scripture says that when they did that, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And so they signaled for their partners in the other boat to come help them out. And their boats were so full that they began to sink. Lord, help me obey you even when I don't understand. Isn't that powerful? To see what happened in the life of these fishermen that trusted God and how God came through. Lord, help me to trust you even when I don't understand. And here's the second prayer. Lord, help me surrender what I cannot control. And I want you to be very honest with me by a show of hands. How many of you are control freaks? Yeah, all right. Some of you are lying because I know you. It's just the way that we are, you know. Lord, help me to surrender to you what I can't control. I love this. Simon obeys and he lets down the nets and he's surprised that he catches so many fish that he can't even contain them. And suddenly he realizes, oh my, this guy that's in the boat, he's not just a rabbi. He's not just a teacher. There's something special about him. He's holy. He's God. And the Bible says that Peter falls down and he says, get away from me, Rabbi. I'm a sinful person. I'm not even worthy of being in your presence. And here's what Jesus did. Okay? And it's amazing. Just imagine just how much Jesus loved him and loves us. Jesus says as lovingly as possible, Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to fish for people. From now on, you're going to do what you've done your whole life. I'm going to use those same skills to a certain degree. I mean, he wasn't asking Simon to go around with a net and bag up a bunch of people and drag them into church. But he was basically saying, you're going to be a fisher of men, right? Pull your boats up to the shore. And I want you to see what he does here. I want you to understand what happens. They pull their nets up to the shore. And the Bible says they left everything and they followed Jesus. They left everything. Now, what do you suppose everything included? Everything included, in the Greek, it means everything. Okay? That's what they did. They left their nets, all of their fishing gear, their boats, everything that they had, they left it behind. Whatever it was that was responsible for their livelihood, they left it behind. Everything that provided them safety, they left it behind. And I think sometimes God asks us to do the same thing, you know. Whatever it is your understanding is, or whatever it is that you're putting your hope in, whatever is on your bucket list, will you just put that aside for a moment and trust me? You know? When it comes to your nets, first thing you do is let those nets down when he invites you to do that. And then at some point, you have to just leave them behind. You have to let them down, and then you have to leave them behind and say, I surrender completely. Lord, I let go of my plans. I'm trusting you. And it's not easy. It's difficult. And this can be one of the biggest steps of faith that we ever have to take when you say, I'm not just going to let my net down. I'm just not going to do what Jesus has told me to do. I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to leave it behind. And so we let go of it and we choose to cling to Him. You know? I don't know really who needs to hear this today, maybe all of us. But I want to share with you a passage of Scripture that I think is very important for us to understand in this day of uncertainty. It's in Psalm chapter 20, verse 7, the words of David. He said this, and I hope that you understand, I hope you feel it, and I hope that you yourself are right, find yourself in the middle of this verse. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. In our world, what we might say is some may trust in the economy. Right? Some may trust in whoever holds office. Which you want to vote, but I thank God that our hopes are not tied to who's sitting in the Oval Office, but who's sitting on the throne. Some will put their hope in bank accounts. Some will put their hope in a medical report. And David said it this way, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we, as the people of God, where do we put our hope? We put our hope and our trust in the name of the Lord our God. And while it's easy to trust in what we just see, I urge you to do your best to trust what you can't see, what God is asking you to do, and pray that you might better obey Him, that we might pray, God, help us to surrender that which we cannot control, that we surrender that over to You, the One who one day promises us that You will wipe out every form of sickness and disease and discomfort and sin and every right that's ever been done, or every wrong that's ever been done, You're going to make right. And God, in Your presence, there'll be no more crying, no more heartbreak, no more pain. God, while we see other people putting their hope and their trust in chariots and horses, we're going to trust in You. And if you find yourself today, you want to trust, but it's difficult to trust in a God you can't see. You feel like you're on the edge. Maybe you feel like you're ready to give up. Maybe you're just so exasperated with life that you're about ready to give up. I want you to think for just a moment and answer this question. In our story today, when did this miracle take place? When was it that the disciples who had given up hope see the miraculous provision that God had given to them in this catch, this incredible catch of fish? This miracle came at the end of a very frustrating day. It happened when they had given up hope of even doing anything that particular day. They were ready to just cash it in. And maybe some of you find yourself there. Maybe in a more desperate situation than what our story is in catching fish. But maybe there are some of you who are about ready to give up. You're about ready to just say, I'm done. You know? There might be some that it could be your marriage. You're fighting for it, but your spouse doesn't even seem to care. You feel like you can't even hang on for a moment longer. Or maybe you've got this dream of getting out of debt, but then something happens and you're not even able to make your next payment on some things. Or maybe you're praying for a healing over some health issues. It could be that God, hearing the cries of your heart, and could be that you're looking for someone to spend the rest of your life with if you're single. I mean, I don't know of a lot of single people in our room today, but I know there's some watching online. You say, God, I'm ready to give up. I'm ready to just forget. You know, keep trusting God and keep praying. It was at the end of a very long, frustrating time in these fishermen that God came through. Our God is still God. He's still there. He's still in control. If you're not dead, you're not done. I like that. God has more for you. God is still with you. God is faithful. And there might be some of you who are here today, and maybe you're kind of just investigating all of this God stuff, or maybe you've kind of slipped away from Him for a little bit in your life. You want to trust God, but you haven't put your whole hope and your whole trust there yet. And you say, I don't even know what to do. If I were to ask you where you were at spiritually, you might kind of even hem-haw around. You might not even really know. I want to be very clear to you today about who Jesus is and what He's done for you. He's the Son of God. And He was perfect in every way. He never sinned. And He invited messed up, doubtful people like Simon Peter and a whole bunch of other messed up people to follow Him. And they did it. And He came for those who are hurting. And He came for those who are broken. And Jesus was perfect. That's why He was able to be the sacrifice for us. He gave His life as a sacrifice on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And one day, He's coming back. See, God raised Him from the dead 3 days later. And He promises us that anyone who calls out His name, whoever believes and is baptized, will be saved. He said, you'll be forgiven if you call on Me. All your sins washed away. And there might be some of you who need to do that. There might be some of you who have just forgotten your commitment, that you've not placed your trust in Him like you should. Maybe you're watching today and you've just stumbled across us today and you're not watching by coincidence, I don't believe, but you're here because God loves you and He wants to reveal Himself to you today. I encourage you to just believe that Jesus is enough and that you can trust Him and that He's got your best interest in mind and He will never leave you and He'll never forsake you and He'll be there for you always. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning and we're going to sing a song of decision. And if you have a need, we encourage you to make your way to the front. If you are watching online and you have a need, would you just reach out to us? And we'd love to talk to you about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus every single day. Let's pray.